right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition. And before you bet, right here on the Covers YouTube channel, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. So it brings me incredible pleasure to once again say that we are once again coming off of another winning show. Yesterday, I was cooking with gas here yesterday. 5-0 for yours truly across the NFL and the NBA. That brought a smile to my face because the couple of Thursdays leading up to that have been absolute garbage. So off to a good start here, week 16 of the NFL. We have all of our best bets for the Saturday and Sunday NFL games. As for the Christmas Day NFL games, we're doing a Christmas Day Before You Bet special. All of our best NFL bets and NBA bets for that day. It's going to be me and a bunch of different guests. So if you're looking for bets for the Christmas Day games, make sure you check that out right here on the Covers YouTube channel. We should have that up probably on Friday night, maybe sometime Saturday. So keep your eyes out for that one. So a lot to get into here today. Of course, three different guests covering the NFL and the NBA tonight. Guys, if you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Hit the like button right down there. Subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. If you're watching the show live right now, let us know what your best bets are for tonight and for this weekend. If you're watching the replay, hit up the comments section. Let us know what you are betting on and let us know why you are betting on it. Okay, let's go right into my first guest here. Back for the first time in a couple weeks, my guy, Ro. He was in Las Vegas, then he was sick, but we're very happy to have him back in his traditional Friday spot. Ro, how are you feeling and are you in the holiday spirit?
You know, I'm feeling way better than last week. And, you know, it's hard not to get into the holiday spirit. We've got football. We've got basketball. It's definitely cold as hell up here in Canada. So definitely yes. Feels like the holidays.
Yeah, football, basketball. I got a fridge full of beer, a bunch of junk food to get into. So looking forward to that. But we got some bets to get into first. So let's get into those. I'm going to hit lead off. And I'm going to start with one of the games on Saturday, my favorite prop for the Saturday games. I'm going to take James Cook to go over his receiving yard total, 25.5. So he's absolutely cooked this number. Get it? James Cook has cooked this number in four straight games, an average of 52.75 receiving yards per game for Cook. Targets are on the rise as well. Pretty consistent here during the four-game tear, at least three. He had 7 in that game versus the Eagles a few weeks ago. And this is an awful spot for the Chargers defense, a real weak spot for them. They're allowing 48.5 receiving yards per game to a running back. So look for the Bills to get involved in the pass game and get Cook a couple of throws in his direction. Okay, Ro, let's get into the Sunday game. Start us off here. Falcons-Colts. Interesting one. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit surprised by the line movement here. You know, we saw the Colts actually open as small favorites, minus 1.5, minus 2 at most books. News came out that, of course, the Falcons were going to bench Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke in. All of a sudden, Falcons money comes in. We see the Falcons come out as favorites. Falcons were sitting at about minus 1, minus 1.5. All of a sudden, jump up to minus 2.5 yesterday. I'm going against the line movement. I do not agree with it. I'm taking the Colts outright on the money line here. You can get that at plus 120 over at Bet365. Big reason, of course, is I don't really think Heineke's a massive upgrade from Ridder at all. Yeah, Ridder's been pretty terrible, but we saw Heineke have, you know, a three-start audition earlier this season. Did not look great. Completion percentage just above 55%, 47.8 QBR in those games. Then, midway through his third start there, he had that minor hamstring injury, and lost his job immediately after that. So, no, I don't really think the Falcons are going to be a whole lot better with Heineke, especially with this vanilla offense. Then you especially add up the injuries on the offensive line. That's not going to help either. We've got four starters on the offensive line that have popped up on the injury list this week. They're also banged up on the defensive line as well. Grady Jarrett's been on the IR for a while. Kentavious Street just joined him. And then David Onyemata and Kelly Campbell were both injured in practice this week as well. So, I mean, if either of those two were to miss this game on Sunday, that's going to seriously weaken a Falcons run defense that's really been the strength of this unit. So, lots of reasons to kind of fade the Falcons in this spot. And a big reason I like the Colts, of course, is that they're looking a little bit healthier than maybe we thought earlier in the week. Obviously, Michael Pittman Jr., huge, huge factor in their passing game. Thought he was probably going to miss this week because of that concussion after that nasty hit last week, but he's trending towards playing. He hasn't passed concussion protocol so far, but he's been a full participant in practice, which is a good sign. Also looks like Jonathan Taylor's going to be back after missing the last few games. I mean, this is a Colts team that's 5-1 straight up and ATS their last six games. Falcons just 2-5 straight up in ATS in their previous seven. So lots of reasons to like the Colts here. I'm definitely on them.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback off that one. I'm going to take the Colts to go over their team total of 21.5. That one's coming in at even money. So pretty easy breakdown here. The Colts have a league best 11-3 to the over record on their team total. Check out Atlanta. Five of their last seven opponents have topped this number. The ones that didn't were the Jets and the Panthers, probably the two worst offenses in the NFL. And the Falcons have had it easy defensively. Look at the list of quarterbacks they've played during that seven-game stretch. Not exactly elite quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, Josh Dobbs, and Will Levis all went over that number, 21.5. And as Rose said, two big weapons expected back for the Colts, Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. So I'll take them to score at least 22 in the dome there down in Hotlanta. Okay, Ro, you're... Detroit Lions are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. What do you like for this one?
I'm on the team total over here. So I like the team total. You can get it at 24.5 minus 102 over at FanDuel. Love this number. I mean, the Lions offense has just been such a well-oiled machine this year. They occasionally struggle outdoors, especially in cold weather, windy conditions. We know Goff isn't at his best in those conditions, but indoors on turf, they've been phenomenal. Nine games indoors this season on turf. They're averaging 32 points per game in those contests, have scored at least 26 points in seven of those games. This is a really balanced offense, fourth in the league in rush success rate, eighth in dropback success rate. And you look at this Minnesota defense, they're actually pretty surprising in terms of where they sit in the league in terms of analytics, top 10 in the league in defensive EPA. But I do think they're a bit fraudulent, except for that game against the 49ers earlier in the year. They played a lot of really weak offenses, which have really inflated those numbers. And if you look at some of those numbers, not that great. 23rd in opponent third down rate, 22nd in opponent passer rating. I look at this defense as a whole, and there's just a lot of flaws there. They have one of the top pass rushers in the league in Danielle Hunter, really underrated run stuffer in Harrison Phillips, but they're weak at linebacker and cornerback, and that's bad news against Detroit attack that has two running backs that can carve up yards in the second level and a stud wideout in Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I like the Lions to have a lot of success offensively here, and I think 24.5 is a very reasonable number to take.
Okay, from one homer pick from Roe on his Lions to another for me, I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins money line with the Dallas Cowboys in town. Am I biased? You're goddamn right I am, but I do have the ammo to back it up. You can't ignore the home away splits with these teams, especially for Dallas. Their play on the road has been a massive red flag. They lost by 21 points versus the Bills last week, lost by 32 versus the 49ers earlier in the season, complete no-show performances. Also lost to the Cardinals on the road. Dak's quarterback rating drops off 38.3 points. Meanwhile, Miami at home, aside from that choke versus the Tennessee Titans, they've been lights out on their home field. Five wins by 14 or more in seven games. Don't sleep on the Dolphins' defense. 21 points or fewer allowed in eight of their last 10. Now fourth overall in yards allowed per play. Third in pressure, second in sacks. Watch out, Dak Prescott. He's been sacked 10 times in the last three games. Cowboys' defense, meanwhile, going in the wrong direction. They've been lit up by both the Bills and the Seahawks this month. Last three games overall, 27th in yards allowed per play. Not sacking the quarterback like they were in the games leading up to that three-game stretch. So I'll take the Dolphins to get that monkey off their back, finally get a win versus a team with a winning record. Okay, Ro, let us keep rolling. We each have a pick for this game. Cardinals, Bears, let us know what you like for this one.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals with the points here. I mean, really, it's all about the number here. This number opened, plus 4.5. You can still get it at plus 4.5 at FanDuel at minus 115, plus 4 at most books. But as soon as this line opened, I was like, are the Bears really 3 points better than the Cardinals on a neutral field? You know, they've been playing better on defense, yes, but especially against the run. But they still have a non-existent pass rush, 28th in the league in pressure rate, 30th in sacks. You know, inconsistent coverage from the back end there. Jalen Johnson's been really good at cornerback, but their other corners have been terrible. So lots of flaws on this Bears team still. You look at their offense, major issues up front with their blocking. No quality weapons besides DJ Moore. Justin Fields is still, you know, inconsistent as a passer. 23rd in the league in QBR. Bears are 23rd in offensive EPA. So this is just not a team that I'm willing to, you know, spot more than a field goal at home. Yes, the Cardinals are bad, bad in a lot of the same areas, especially on defense, but they've definitely been better on offense since Kyler Murray and James Conner returned to that backfield. And you look at one interesting number, Kyler Murray as a road underdog in his career, 15-5-1 against the spread. So this is simply a matter of too many points for the home side here. So give me the Cardinals with the points.
Okay, my best bet for this game, two different bets here for Cards Bears, probably a game that nobody cares about, but sometimes it is these games that no one cares about where you can find the best bets. I love the under for this game. 43 is the total for this one. Check out the Cardinals on the road. Their road games this season are averaging just 35.7 combined points. They've gone under in 6 of 7 road games, which is interesting because they've gone over in every single one of their home games. Both of these teams have been awful at moving the football through the air, 30th and 31st in yards per pass attempt over the last three games. So don't expect big plays through the air. Could be a little windy in the Windy City here on Sunday as well. And Arizona, I think they'll struggle to move the ball on the ground versus a Bears defense that ranks 3rd in yards per rush allowed. No, the Cards are very dependent on running the football. That's where 43% of their yardage comes from, which is the second highest mark in the NFL. So I will take the under in that one. Okay, bro. One more each. We're going to Carolina where the Packers are in town. What do you like for this game?
I'm grabbing the Packers here. Seeing this number at -5 right now, pretty much across the board. You know, look at the Panthers, and they're just terrible. This is pretty much clearly the worst team in the league. 2-12 straight up, 9 of those losses coming by at least a touchdown. Now, they are coming off a win, but that was a close win in really messy weather against a divisional rival in the Falcons. So not something I'm going to put a whole lot of stock in, and this could be a bit of a letdown spot for them. You look at the Packers, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, everyone was raving about this Packers team. They were on a 3-game winning streak, coming off wins against the Lions and Chiefs. Jordan Love had been on fire, and you know what? Jordan Love is still on fire. You know, 69% completion percentage over his last 5 games, more than 1,350 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, just 1 interception. So he's been playing really well, and, you know, I think the fact that the Packers are coming off a couple of losses, all it does is really, you know, help you get a better line in this spot. You look at the Panthers, they're terrible on both sides of the ball. Bryce Young still looks like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And you're getting them after a rare win. So buy low spot for the Packers, sell high spot for the Panthers. Check me in. I'm grabbing the Packers here and I expect them to roll.
Okay, I will bring it home for us here. Ro, one of my favorite props of the weekend, David Njoku, to go over his receiving yard total of 49.5 versus the Houston Texans. And this number is on the rise. It was in the 30s just a couple of weeks ago, but still here at 49. I still think it's too low. He has topped this number in 7 of his last 9 games for an average of 60.2 yards per game. Had 104 yards last week, 91 the week before. He's seeing sky-high targets, the third most targets in the NFL since week 7. He had 14 last week. And to bring it all together, the Texans are allowing the fourth most yards per game to tight ends and have allowed the second most catches. So I think Njoku continues to roll. Okay, bro, that does it for your appearance today, but you got a lot going on over at covers.com and here on the YouTube channel. Tell the people a little bit about it.
College basketball, we're going to be taking a little break, you know, after this week, but some good games coming up the next few days. So make sure you check out our free picks page over at Covers. We've got lots of free plays and all the college hoops action. Tons of NFL games this weekend as well, of course. So lots to tune in for. And of course, I'll be back with some of my Christmas Day bets.
Yes, sir. Okay, my man. Thank you again for joining us. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And we will see you on the Before You Bet Christmas Day betting special.
See you then.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's keep on rolling to one of our favorite guests here. Everyone's one of my favorite guests here. Maybe one day I'll rank them. Let's go to our guy, Hitman. So let me ask you this, kind of a betting related question. So I find the three Christmas Day games and my Miami Dolphins playing at supper time on Christmas Eve, it's kind of inconvenient. You know, I'm here with the family. I can't exactly be like, yeah, you guys enjoy your dinner. I'll be in the room over here by myself, watch my team. Are you going to be able to sit down and lock in and watch all these games here over the holiday weekend?
Yeah. I mean, my wife knows what she signed up for when she married me, you know? I mean, this is what's paying for these expensive, nice Christmas gifts that I'm getting her, is me making money on a lot of these games. And I do find that on these type of slates, there might be more opportunity because a lot of pro bettors that are influencing the market, they're taking off one for a day. So sometimes if you stick around and you're betting this stuff, you can find some advantageous stuff. Now, I'm still going to be eating dinner with the family. I'm still going to say hello, but going to have the laptop out, going to have some of the phones out, ready to work.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that thing on Christmas Eve where I record at least the second half of Dolphins Cowboys and avoid my phone altogether and then watch it when everyone else goes to sleep, I guess. So, yeah, wish me luck with that. But, okay, so let's try to make some money to pay for some of these gifts here. Three bets from you that you like, a couple spreads, but let's start with the prop. Bryce Young, you're backing him here to have a good day on Sunday against the Packers. Tell us why.
Oh, man, it hurts just even hearing you say that, Joe, that we're backing Bryce Young. But I like Bryce Young over passing yards. Now, this is a Packers defense that has been absolutely – like they're on the ropes right now. Like Joe Barry, their defensive coordinator, is getting criticized a ton, and rightfully so. I mean, just look at the last 2 weeks that this Packers defense – they've allowed the NFC player of the week to come from their opponent the last 2 weeks – and it's not like they faced Matthew Stafford and Dak Prescott or something like that. They faced Tommy DeVito and they faced Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield last week, 22 of 28 passing for 381 yards. We're probably going to get a game script where Carolina, as usual, is trailing. And look, I mean, Bryce Young last week, he threw for 167 yards just under this in an absolute downpour in a game that they were in a lot of neutral game script that entire time. It's just a low number, and it's about as low as a passing number gets for a quarterback that is not at threat to be benched in this game. So I know like we cringe when we hear like, oh, Bryce Young to go over. But listen, the number is set this low for a reason. And I think that this matchup presents an opportunity where he can go over.
Okay, let us go to Christmas Eve. Another ugly looking game. But like we often say, these ugly games, you can often find pretty good betting opportunities. So we have the Patriots in Denver taking on the Broncos. You like a pick on the spread. You like the Patriots. Tell us why.
Yeah, admittedly, I bet this at 6.5 earlier in the week. Market's going against me, and it's at New England +7 right now. I just don't really don't see it. You know, these two teams play run first, ball control style, and that style is conducive to a lower scoring game, which obviously makes the points way more valuable. Denver's 32nd in pace, and they've been extremely conservative on offense since October. If Denver plays that conservative style where they're running the ball, the New England Patriots are first in rush DVOA, first in rush EPA, first in rush success rate. Javonte Williams, the lead runner for Denver, has been struggling. He was credited with 0 yards after contact last week. He's averaging only 3.7 yards per carry on the season. So it's tough to see Denver to have a lot of efficiency when they run the ball. And then when New England runs the ball, which we know they want to do, this is a Denver run defense. It's the worst in the NFL. They're allowing 5.2 yards per carry. They're bottom five in EPA and success rate. And New England, when they played a bottom half offense in the league this year, every single time they've held that offense to 20 or less points. So it's just a situation. I think that it's going to be tough for Denver to get margin in this one.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. You know, Denver's not as bad as the team that started the season 0-3, but they're also not as good as the team that won five straight, where they benefited from just an avalanche of turnovers. Yeah. And I'll tell the people out there, be careful with those Denver Bronco teasers this weekend. Could be a teaser buster right here. Okay, let's wrap up your best bet section here with the Browns in Houston taking on the Texans. You like Cleveland -2.5.
Yeah, I like Cleveland -2.5, -120. I mean, I think that this closes at the minimum, probably a flat three when the CJ Stroud official news does come out. And I do expect that news to come out that he will officially miss this game. I think with Case Keenum, Houston's a bottom five team without Tank Dell. Also, that was a huge loss. Stroud masked a lot of issues with this offensive line and this running game, where he just had insane efficiency throughout the year. Houston has other key injuries to their defense with no Blake Cashman and no Will Anderson. This is a defense that has struggled all year to begin with. Since week 7, they're by. They're allowing the third most yards per attempt. They're a pass funnel defense, and they're facing a team that has shown that they want to be pass heavy, and they've been successful the past few weeks. They've thrown at a 4, 6, and 6% above expectation. And then if you look when Houston does want to run the ball, they're going against a run defense that is number one in the NFL in yards before contact, 0.56 yards per before contact. That's going to put Case Keenum in a lot of second and third and longs. And I don't know about you, Joe, but Case Keenum in a lot of second and third and longs against the number one pressure rate defense in the NFL, it doesn't sound like a recipe for success for Houston.
Yeah, Texans, you know, good story this season. Looks like the wheels are falling off, though, especially without C.J. Stroud, unlikely to suit up for them. So I always love to get your opinion on different teaser legs that you might like this weekend. My teaser cold streak finally came to an end last week. There's a lot of interesting spots, a lot of dogs that you can tease up, you know, through both the 3 and the 7. Any teaser spots on your radar here for week 16?
Yeah, the one that I bet was Pittsburgh and Indy, getting them up from 2.5 to 8.5. I mean, I've been surprised with this Indy line. It opened Indy -2.5 when there was a lot of talk about Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor missing this game. Went down. Taylor and Pittman are surprisingly going to play, and it's still been good. The line's been going towards Atlanta. So, I mean, I like Indy. I made the line less than 2.5, to be honest with you. So I like teasing that up to 8.5. And the Pittsburgh side of it, I mean, they've dominated. When they played against Cincinnati a few weeks ago, they dominated that game. I think that DJ Reader is a huge loss. The Bengals are allowing 5.6 yards per carry over 109 running back runs for the season without Reader. Jamar Chase is obviously a huge loss. I think Pittsburgh can keep this one close also. So that's my favorite teaser look of the week.
Okay, before we let you go, I got to get your opinion on my Dolphins hosting the Cowboys. Now, I broke down my case for the Dolphins. Of course, there's still some things that have to work themselves out. Tyreek Hill was back to practice yesterday. Was said to be walking with a little bit of a limp. I thought he was going to play versus the Jets. If you watch the footage of him warming up before that game, he looked pretty good, running in a straight line, at least. Javon Holland, he's questionable as well. So if the Dolphins could get him back, that would be massive. Any thoughts, any leans for Cowboys-Dolphins?
It's a game where everybody has to do their homework and monitor these Dolphins injuries. And especially, I think the secondary injuries are obviously huge with Miami for this game. But I think that the offensive line issues is number one that people have to monitor, because you're going against one of the two best pass rushers in the league in the Dallas Cowboys. Tua has shown that he has been sensitive to pressure this season and throughout his career. So I think that it's the injuries that you just got to monitor. If Miami comes back with a super clean injury report, I could maybe consider betting them pick them. And if their injury report looks anything like it did last week, then more money probably ends up coming in on Dallas. And I'm also interested to see with CeeDee Lamb props, interested to see what Miami does with Jalen Ramsey. They had Jalen Ramsey travel last week with Garrett Wilson, really shut him down in that game. CeeDee Lamb's at 90.5 receiving yards right now. That's a high number, considering that he might be going against one of the top corners in the league in a travel situation. So that's the stuff that I'm monitoring for this game.
Yeah, there were some reports coming out of Miami last week, whispers, I guess you could say, that the Dolphins might have been doing a little version of load management against the Jets with some of these guys who were kind of iffy, and they decided to keep them out, which I don't know if that's true. It was pretty risky if they were doing that, considering they were coming off of that big choke against the Tennessee Titans, but we'll see. And for my sake, hopefully it will be a clean injury report. We'll get some guys back in the lineup. Hitman, we're going to leave it at that, my man. Best of luck with those bets. Thanks a lot for joining us again. We'll see you again next week, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you, Joe. Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Before we get into NBA, some people weighing in. Peter Lowe with an interesting stat here. Dallas on grass versus turf is also very noticeable. Last 2 years, Dallas is 1-8 straight up and ATS on grass. Very interesting note there. You know, we did see them on grass in 3 games this season. They got killed by the 49ers. They got killed by Buffalo last week. Philadelphia. They gave Philly a good game up in Philadelphia, but they did lose that game by 5. And you guys know I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm a realistic Dolphins fan, though. They haven't really been good in big spots over the past couple of years. So hopefully they can get that monkey off their back. Let's get into NBA here. John, we got to talk about, I'm going to call them your Detroit Pistons. You know, we've been kind of rallying around this team a little bit. And a lot of people were betting on them to finally get that win there yesterday. We saw a lot of line movement going in their favor yesterday. But once again, they came up short. So it looked like a perfect situation. The Utah Jazz suck on the road. They were in the second game of a back-to-back. I never heard of a bunch of the guys even playing for Utah last night. So my question, do you think the Detroit Pistons will get another win this season?
This season? Wow. I mean, that would be all time bad if they didn't. I didn't understand the whole 5-on-5-off subbing thing that they got going on there in the second quarter. They're not good enough. I mean, plenty of teams in the NBA don't even do that who have good rosters. So the fact that the Pistons were doing that, I thought that was crazy. Yeah. I had the Bojan Bogdanović assist prop over, and he came out with like 6 minutes left in the first quarter. I was like, perfect. High scoring game. He'll come back in when Cade's out, he can like kind of run the pick and roll, get some assists, and they just went 5-on-5-off with the sub. So that was not enjoyable to watch. I threw the Pistons on my card yesterday and I got reverse swept. So I guess just winning in Pistons just doesn't go together.
That's what we get for coming on here and talking up the Detroit Pistons, god damn it. Okay, let's look to recover here tonight, John. You have 3 props for us. I have a first half and a first quarter play. You have 3, though, so I'm going to let you hit lead off. Tyrese Maxey, what do you like or what do you not like for him tonight?
Yes, so this is the same bet. I actually bet this on Wednesday as well. So I went under 6.5. It's still -103 at Caesars. So for Maxey, specifically to the Raptors, he averages about 11.5 potential assists per game on the year. But against the Raptors, that's only been 8.5. So they've done a pretty good job of like containing Maxey. There's also a lot of disruption to the 76ers starting lineup here when it comes to Maxey. So when you think of, you know, Maxey is obviously really fast, can get in the lane. But when he gets in the lane and you're playing with, you know, like the first time he played the Raptors, he had PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker is just catch and shoot. So like in terms of assists, like if you hit him and he makes a shot, that's an assist. He's gone, obviously. Nicholas Batum is injured as well. De'Anthony Melton is also questionable, but I think he's missing this game, so he's injured too. So you're taking out a lot of catch and shoot guys, and all of a sudden you're bringing in a Patrick Beverley. So Patrick Beverley can take an open shot. He will if it's wide open. The thing is, if you're a Maxey and you hit him with a pass, there's a good chance Beverly's actually going to make an extra pass to get someone else, like a better shooter of the ball, which really hurts potential assists. So when you're talking about like a matchup where Maxey has already struggled against the Raptors to get those potential assists, and now the lineup is not really going to help him, like the changes in the lineup's not really going to help him. And then also like Joel Embiid is making a run MVP. Like this guy is unbelievable scoring the ball. You have to help. So like you can't in the NBA, you have to pick your poison, right? So it's very clearly teams are going to start picking their poison. Like the Raptors tonight, it's going to be doubles on Embiid. So I think then the assists kind of go to Embiid. It kind of opens up more scoring for Maxey versus passing. I just 6.5. I think, you know, Maxey's assist total has gotten up there because of how he started the year. I think it's going to start to come back down a bit as people start to play Embiid differently and stuff like that.
I will never forgive Tyrese Maxey. I had the over on his point total when I was in Philadelphia watching them play back in November. He gets off to a slow start, but then he gets hot in the second half. He is a bucket shy of going over his point total. He steals the ball, going down on the fast break. Looks like he's going to lay it in. Nice, easy lay-in. 2-on-1. No. Hands it off to Tobias Harris. He gets an easy bucket. But
we don't want that tonight either.
Well, yeah, and maybe Maxey can make this up to me tonight, because my best bet for this game, I'm going to take the Sixers to cover the first half spread -4.5. So this has been a hot spot for Philly this season, 11-4 against the spread at home in the first half. Toronto, meanwhile, ice cold in this spot. They're a 1-8-1 first half against the spread in their last 10 games, and they've really struggled in the spot on the road where they've gone 3-8 against the spread. And you dig into the first half numbers for each of these teams here lately. The Sixers have dominated Toronto over the last 10 games here in the first half. 8 versus 25 in EFG percentage, 9 versus 24 in opponent EFG percentage, 1 versus 21 in free throw attempt rate, 9 versus dead last in three-point shooting percentage. So I'll take these Sixers to take care of business at least in the first half and be up by at least 5 there. Okay, let's go to Nuggets Nets. You have a prop that you like for this game. I have a first quarter bet. Get us started with the prop that you like for the game.
Yeah, I'm going Spencer Dinwiddie under 7.5 assists. So Dinwiddie is kind of like a fun kind of assist guy when it comes to betting. He can go like a very wide. Like I think he had 14 assists recently in a game. I think he had double digits at the game before that too. He's really dependent on like the style of game. So I just don't think the Nuggets, this style kind of plays to who he is. If it's wide open game, you know, fast paced, lots of scoring, he's going to find 3-point shooters and the Nets are going to chuck up a ton of three. So he can accumulate assists really fast that way. In their last game, they just played on December 14th. Dinwiddie went over this total, which might scare people because he had 8 assists, but that was on 9 potential assists. That is like a crazy conversion rate. That's all, like, you shouldn't ever really even see that. So in terms of if you look at the box score, you might be a little afraid. I wouldn't, just because of the potential assists. The one thing with the Nuggets is they were doing an excellent job in that game. They blew out the Nets. They did an excellent job in that game of running the Nets off the three-point line, really getting after their three-point shooting. They know that's what they're trying to do on offense. What it was doing is it was leading to multiple passes. So instead of like Dinwiddie, if maybe you're playing the Hawks, it's, you know, Dinwiddie pick and roll, one pass, three-pointer, potential assists. The Nets had to swing it like 3-4 times to get that 3-point shot because the Nuggets were closing out really hard on the 3-point line. So that just takes away potential assists from Dinwiddie too. So when you're talking about a total, that's 7.5 for this guy, and just how the Nuggets guarded this last game, I just think you're going to see it'll be like a bunch of random guys getting a couple of assists just because they'll have to swing the ball a lot more to get those 3-point shots up.
Okay, my best bet for this game, it's been a while since I've done a first quarter bet, but I think we have an excellent spot in this one to back the Nuggets in the first quarter, -1.5. So Denver is flying in the first. They've outscored 5 straight opponents in the first quarter, +7-point margin in those games. A lot of contrast here because some slow starts for the Brooklyn offense. They are 28th in both first quarter EFG shooting percentage and points scored over their last 5 games, which also pairs up with the Nuggets ranking first in first quarter points allowed over their last 5 games, just 22.8. The Nuggets are 29 ATS in the first quarter this season. That's one of the best marks in the NBA. For what it's worth, they outscored the Nets by 7 in the first quarter just a couple games ago. So that could be a marriage made in first quarter betting. Heaven, give me the Nuggets to cover the first quarter spread. Okay, John, bring it home for us. De'Aaron Fox tonight. Interesting game. What do you like for him?
Another under. So we're going De'Aaron Fox under 6.5 assists. It was +110 when we came on air here. So it's very similar to the Dinwiddie bet. It's like if you're just going through the market, you see 6.5. They just played, I think it was December 8th. They just played. He had 7 assists. So it looks like, again, like you should probably maybe be going over. Similar to Dinwiddie, that was on 10 potential assists. So again, the potential assists weren't really high. that is very related to how the Suns always decide to guard Fox in these matchups. So Yusuf Nurkic is out for this game. He always plays, you know, a deep drop coverage on Fox. I think that's more the strategy of the entire coaching staff for Fox. I think you'll see whoever's filling in, Chimezie Metu or Drew Eubanks, I think they'll do the same thing, because the goal is, you know, you want Fox to shoot the jump shot. You don't want to blitz him, and then he gives the ball to Domantas Sabonis, and Sabonis becomes a hub for all their other scorers. So I think that's what they're trying to avoid. What they flip that though, when last game, when Sabonis goes out, they will start blitzing Fox. So that's where you're kind of vulnerable to those assists. But I think the 6.5 is high enough that we can get away with it type thing, because those minutes are really small where Sabonis is on the bench and he's playing by himself. I just think Fox is more, I've gone over a couple times on this year, that's at 5.5. I think he's more of a 5.5 guy, specifically with how the Suns play him. They'll be giving him all those open mid-range jump shots. They're going to try to turn him into a jump shooter instead of a passer. And it's also to try to like suppress Sabonis a bit.
You think Phoenix Suns fans should be concerned? This is a very rough stretch here for their team. The shooting's been really bad. Guys in and out of the lineup. Bradley Beal has played in three games for them this season? I mean, they lost to the Blazers the other night. I thought that was going to be maybe a bit of a get-right spot for them. But your thoughts on the Suns up until this point?
Yeah, well, I have, I think, like 5 or 6 units on the Suns to win the NBA Finals. So I'm personally one of those people who was concerned about the Suns. I just always kept thinking, like, how many times we've had Durant, Booker, and Beal are going to play tonight, and then it's like, oh, Durant's out, or Beal's out, or Booker's out, or Beal turns ankle. I just think they're at least hanging in there. They're still in like the play-in tournament kind of spot right now, and Beal's supposed to be back I think it was a couple weeks, so he's been out like a week or so. I think when they do get everyone back, they're going to roll, so I'm not too concerned. But in terms of, you never want to be like a team that's contending and you're like falling into even out of the play-in tournament spots when you're supposed to be a team that's easily going to get in, especially the Western Conference, right? If this was Eastern Conference, you'd be like, okay, they're sitting 7-8 seed, like they can eventually climb. Yeah. I mean, the West is stacked. So it is a little concerning, but I think once they get them together, those three should be able to roll quite a bit. So,
man, I don't know if it's going to happen though. It seems like if you look at Durant, it seems like he always has one really lengthy injury every season. It seems like that could be right around the corner. It's kind of like a Brooklyn Nets light a little bit right now, because what was it? Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, they only played in 20 games together, which is absolutely insane. Now, Kyrie was missing time for reasons other than being injured. Of course, he did get injured a lot too, but, yeah, not going so good here for the Phoenix Suns, but plenty of time to turn it around. Peter Lowe weighing in. First of all, he says, big props to you and Mettler for a great NBA season so far. So we thank you for that, Peter. And he wanted to point out the Jordan Poole revenge game.
Yes.
Against the Warriors. Everyone's got this one circled tonight. Thoughts on over 2.5 turnovers for this clown of a player? I have no idea what the odds are. I have no idea how often he is turning it over. I'm guessing he turns it over quite a bit. Any thoughts or leans on that whatsoever, John?
The same thing. I honestly don't really know what his average turnover is. I don't really look at that. I would say if you can bet, like, well, look at the numbers first, but if like a field goal attempts, he's going to shoot it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's going to take his shots. So, he's definitely gonna be highly involved in this game.
I could see him trying to do too much tonight, so maybe a good look there for Peter in the Jordan Poole revenge game. Okay, Mettler, we will leave it at that, but you're going to be back with us for the Before You Bet Christmas Day betting special show. We have a bunch of spread bets that we like for the NBA, so you guys are going to want to tune back in to check that out. Thanks a lot, my man, for joining us, so we'll catch you later for the Christmas Day special.
Yeah, for sure. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yes, sir. Very classy stuff there from John. Wishing everyone happy holidays. Very classy guy. Okay, recap the NFL picks here. If you guys missed the top of the show, on Saturday, I only like one bet. I like James Cook to go over his receiving yard total. He's been breaking a lot of big ones. The Chargers are really bad against running backs in the pass game. I like the Colts to go over their team total. They're 11-3 to the over on their team total this season. The Falcons stink. I like the Dolphins' money line versus the Cowboys, who stink on the road. Under 43 for Cardinals-Bears. Cardinals' road games averaging only around 35-36 combined points. And Njoku, Njoku. I like him to go over his receiving yard total of 49 and a half. He's absolutely obliterating that number here down the stretch of the season. Okay, so that does it for today's show. But like I've been saying, we're going to have a Christmas Day special. All of our best bets for the NFL and NBA. Maybe by the time you're watching this show, it will be up on the YouTube channel. If not, keep your eyes peeled to my Twitter account and the Covers, or the Covers X account, I guess we'll call it. And that should be a good one. Lots of great plays, lots of great angles for both the NFL and NBA on Christmas Day. Guys, make sure you're subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel here. A lot of great content. If there's an NFL game that you're wondering about that we did not cover, there will be a video up for that. Some of them by me, actually. We got college football all over, bowl season, NHL stuff. Of course, the NBA that we're doing right here. College basketball will pick up in the new year. So we're covering everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting. We will leave it at that for today. Thank you guys very much for watching. Best of luck with that last second Christmas shopping. Are you going to be one of these assholes, one of these guys who's out at the mall on Christmas Eve? If you are, good luck to you. Tip though, just park far away and walk. Don't be trying to get a good parking spot on Christmas Eve at the mall. It's an absolute disaster. If you do that, good luck to you. It's none of my business, I guess. Best of luck with your bets tonight and this weekend. We'll see you guys for the Before You Bet Christmas Day betting special.